Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's as far as we'll read from God's word this morning. People of God, as I said earlier, I'm speaking on why go to church or why church. And you might think, okay, I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here. You don't need to hear this, right? I'll grant that. But the people who aren't going to church, they didn't show up this morning. So I can't preach to them. So you'll just have to do the preaching to them. You'll have to explain to them why a person might want to go to church. I work as a hospice chaplain. I get to meet a lot of people. A lot of people tell me that they are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're trusting in him to forgive their sins, but a lot of them haven't been to church in a long time. And, I mean, some of them have, but there seems to be a whole group that haven't been. And so, like, what happened? Where did this connection get lost between believing in Jesus, trusting in him for your salvation, and going to church? Somewhere there, that got lost. And maybe they never heard a sermon like this. So I'm thinking, maybe if I preach a sermon like this, you won't be that in 5 years or 10 years. I can hope that. But I think it's also good just to think about why. Why do I go here? What's good about going here? Why do I need church? Why go at all? Some of you may not have thought about that because you grew up going to church and you just went to church no matter what. I mean, that was my case. I was a kid. We went to church. We went to church twice. And you had to be really sick. You know, I don't feel well. Oh, I think you're good enough. You went to church anyways. Before that, in the time of my parents and grandparents, if you didn't go to church, the elders might show up on your door if you missed even one service. We've gotten quite a ways from that. What draws us to church? What makes us come? Why do we have this habit of going to church? Why should you have a habit of going to church? What makes you want to get out of bed? And I know it's a dreary day. You might think, oh, didn't really feel like getting out of bed this morning. But the first reason I would give you is that God calls us to it in his word. And we just read that this morning. Do not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. God expects it. He expects you to be a part of the church. It's interesting, you know. Paul went out preaching the gospel all over the place, new places, right? The book of Acts talks about that. He went there and he preached the gospel and he just left them, right? No. He established churches wherever he went. He would not establish churches if the church was just baggage. Because a lot of people today kind of think it is. I have this relationship with God. It's me and God. I even heard a country song, me and God, me and God. A lot of people kind of think it's just me and God. I don't need the body. I don't need anybody else. I can worship just fine sitting at home in front of the TV or even better, going out in nature. I can see God there, can commune with him. I don't know how much they really do commune with God, whether they think about God or whether they're just enjoying nature. I have my suspicions, but anyways. God didn't think that. God says, don't give up the habit of meeting together. And there's evidence that this was probably written in a time of persecution. So, that would sound like a good reason to skip church if you're going to be persecuted for going to church, but he says don't. He says don't give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And even that word habit, you catch that word? Talks about it as a habit. It's not, well, you know, sort of thought about going and, yeah, I felt like it today. No, he talks about it as a habit. Church was an expected part of the life of the Christian in the Bible, in Bible times. He established churches. He appointed church leaders. That's just the way it is. We read 1 Corinthians this morning. Talked about a body. How do you be a part of the body? You come here and you're part of the body. And I'll speak more about that later. But let's just assume that you come to Christ. When you come to Christ, you become a part of the body. There's another reason given here, too. It talks about gathering together to encourage one another. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's part of what we're doing when we gather here. We're encouraging one another. And I know I find encouragement from you. I hopefully encourage others. We want to do that. We want to say, hey, you know, how's it going? What's happening in your life? How are you feeling today? You know, those kinds of things. We might just say fine, but maybe some days we'll say, oh, it's been a rough week, you know. I'm feeling a little bit better or whatever. We encourage one another here. Maybe you say, oh, are you coming to our deal next week, our Bible study Wednesday night or our family night or whatever. We encourage one another in our Christian life. If Christianity were only a matter between God and me, we wouldn't have that encouragement. You know, we talk about when we're camping. You know, you have a fire and then afterwards it kind of dies down and you get a whole bunch of coals there and they're all glowing. You take one of those coals and you take it away from the fire. What happens to it? It burns out. You leave it there with the other coals. It continues to glow. We need our other coals to continue to glow, to continue to grow, to continue to go on in your Christian life. When Christians are apart from the body, they grow cold. Their commitment, their fire dies down. We need one another. We need to gather together to encourage one another. And that encouragement happens here on Sunday morning. It also happens in the coffee hour. And it happens family night, and it happens Bible studies, and it happens when you meet one another in the store or wherever. Or at ball games. We encourage one another. We build relationships. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know, when you're home by yourself, you may not get much encouragement in that direction, but when you come here, there's a sermon, there's God's word, there's the music, there's opportunities to minister laid out for you. Coming to church helps call us to reach out to others. There's, you know, ways you can serve. You're expected to come to the church, you're expected to serve the church too. So maybe you teach Sunday school or you help out or you get a shoebox or angel tree or whatever. There's various ways that we serve. And being a part of the church, you spur one another on towards those things. We also come to church to meet God here. Yeah, I know. You say, I can meet God in nature. Yeah, you can meet God in nature, and you do meet God in nature. You can look at nature, and hopefully you think of God when you look at nature. I'm not sure people always do, but if you look at nature and you say, boy, you know, God really made that beautiful, made that those trees beautiful, the flowers, the sunset. But there's a special way that you meet God here, too. There's a verse where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's something special that happens here that you don't get from a TV. I'm watching, you know, some program on TV, the minister can talk, you can hear God's word there. But you're not meeting with God's people. And you're not expected to sing. Probably don't sing in your living room. At here, you kind of sing. You're kind of expected to. If you don't sing, that's okay. But you're part of, being a part of the body of Christ is part of meeting God. And I find it interesting, too, that in the early church, the Holy Spirit was sometimes poured out on individuals, but most often it was poured out on the church as she gathered. The church was together and they were praying and praying with boldness, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Something special happens here. The Holy Spirit works in a special way. And together we share things. I prayed the congregational prayer. Hopefully you prayed it along with me. You know, the concerns for Foster Bromell, or the concerns for this church, the concerns for the various ministries of this church. We share them. And there's a bond that you feel here because we share those different ministries. You know, we can be with God every hour of the day, and He is present with us. But there is something special that happens here. And if you miss even one week, you've missed the opportunity to be with God and His people. I remember this old saint in one of my past churches. And man, she couldn't come to church anymore. She was old and frail. But those weeks when it was too cold and she couldn't make it, she says, "I've missed something." And I just heard the same thing this morning from Marcia about Foster. This is the second Sunday he had to miss it. He's sad about that. He missed it. Do you feel that same missing of being with the body of Christ, and meeting God here? You don't get that sitting at home. We receive spiritual nourishment here. And that happens not only from the preaching and the songs and whatever, but it happens from the fellowship too. Somehow we receive something from being a part of the body. And I can't put my finger on what exactly it is. But we receive a nourishment here. We receive a challenge. We need it. God put this into our schedule. He gave us 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. We need that rest. But as part of that rest also, we need to get replenished here. And I know sometimes things happen and, you know, didn't get to church on Sunday. And I can sense, I can feel that I didn't get that nourishment. I've missed something that week. And, yeah, you know, your cars, you look after them. Maintain them. You know, every however many miles, you change the fuel filter and the oil filter and change the oil. And what does it say? It says you have to do this every 3,500 miles or whatever. It also says under adverse conditions, change it more often. So if you're having a tough time, that's not the time that you skip church. That's the time you make sure and you go because you need it. Under adverse conditions, you need your maintenance. We come here to be a part of the body. That's the last reason. To receive from the body and to serve the body. If you're not here, you're not receiving the encouragement. You're not encouraging others. You're missing the opportunity to serve and be served. And it's important that we do that. That's part of being the body too. It's not only coming here and listening to the preacher, or it's singing yourself. It's worshiping God in your heart. Even if you're not into singing, but somehow you worship God. We gather here to not only meet God, but to worship Him. This is part of what puts us in the right frame for life, is a sense of our creatureliness and God's greatness. When we come here to worship Him, this is what we were meant to do. And it's important that we not only receive from the body, but that we serve the body as well. We read this morning from 1 Corinthians 12. Talked about the body life there. And you know, it talked about all the different parts of the body. You know, you might be an arm or an eye or a tooth. Whatever. We need you. We need you. We need all of our various parts. I wouldn't want to be without a finger or a hand. We want you. We can serve better with you and with you doing the things that God has called you to do. If you cut yourself off from the body, what happens? If I get a finger cut off, I hurt. I go on, but I hurt. But what happens to that finger? It dies. We need you, and you need us in the body of Christ. It's interesting that that's the picture God gave us of the church. He didn't give us a picture of a body, of a bottle of water, and every drop just adds to it. And it doesn't matter how many drops there are. He gave us a picture of the body. Each part doing its part. And you know, that's why we care for each member of the body. That's why when one part of the body hurts, we care for it. That's why we care for the disabled. That's why we care for the elderly. That's why we care for the sick and the youth. Because we are a body together, serving one another, being the body of Christ. So, my friends, come to church. You're here, so I know that. Tell others to come. Tell them what they're missing. They're missing being a part of the body of Christ. They're missing meeting God. They're missing something special that happens here. You can't find it in nature. You can't find it by yourself sitting in front of the TV. You find it here where God's people are gathered. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for calling us to be a part of your body, the church. And it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to worship you, and worship is somehow different with these brothers and sisters here. And we're thankful for their care for us in times when tough times for us. We're thankful that we can as well serve others in their tough times. Help us to be the body of Christ to one another. Help us to come and to be a part of your body, your family, your people. Let us encourage one another, all the more as we see the day approaching. Amen.